Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Ittinamini Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta prayeshava badreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15. Verses 1 through 31. We're going to do a whirlwind tour of the first part of this chapter. Sutta uvacha evam krishna saka krishno bratram ragnya vikalpita Nana Sankhaspadam Rupam Krishna Vishlesha Karshita. Word for word, I'm going quickly. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said, Evam, thus, Krishna Sakha. The celebrated friend of Krishna. Krishna. Arjuna. Bratra. By his elder brother. Ragnya. King Yudhishthir. Vikalpita. Speculated. Nana. Various. Shanka Aspadam, based on many doubts. Rupam, forms. Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna. Vishlesha, feelings of separation. Karshita, became greatly bereaved. translation and very short purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, Suta Goswami said, Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feeling of separation from Krishna. Over and above all Maharaj Yudhishthira's speculative inquiries. And the purport, a one-sentence purport, being too much aggrieved, Arjuna practically became choked up, and therefore it was not possible for him to reply properly to the various speculative inquiries of Maharaj Yudhishthira. This first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is setting the stage for the speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, to do this, the first canto is looking back to the Mahabharata. It is, in some respects, a review of the Mahabharata. It is a review, and it's also a commentary on the Mahabharata. It's also, in a very interesting way, presenting Krishna as he is leaving. So the beginning of the Bhagavatam is also the end. This same account of Krishna's departure will be elaborated in the 11th and 12th cantos. So we're getting the end in the beginning. But we're getting the end through the eyes and through the hearts, we can say, of devotees who are very much central to the Mahabharata. Krishna is, in some respects, peripheral in the Mahabharata. He's always more or less in the wings of the stage of the Mahabharata. And he is from the side, he is, dare we say, manipulating events. And the heroes of the Mahabharata are, of course, the Pandavas. And there's some debate over who amongst the Pandavas, the five Pandavas, is the most central hero of the Mahabharata. Is it Arjuna or is it Yudhishthira? But we won't go into that debate now. Here, the center of attention is Arjuna. In the previous chapter, Yudhishthira has noticed signs that evil is appearing. And he has noticed that Arjuna has not come back yet. And then when Arjuna comes back, he notices that Arjuna is very pale, very wan. Something must be wrong. And he interviews Arjuna with many questions about the welfare of the people of Dwarka. And there's an irony to this questioning because we, the listeners, know already what is the situation. Yudhishthira is innocent of the situation, although he feels something is wrong. And then at the end of chapter 14, he surmises, Prabhupada says, he's been speculating, he surmises that the real problem is Krishna has departed. So this chapter, chapter 15, is about the feeling of grief that Arjuna feels because of the departure of Lord Krishna. So he is, first of all, unable to speak because of his grief. In the first four verses, he's unable to speak, and he is remembering the Lord. This is one of the themes of this chapter. It's one of the themes of the Bhagavatam, remembering the Lord, remembering Krishna. Now Arjuna is remembering him, but with acute pain, the sense of loss of his very dear friend is so much, so intense, that at first he cannot speak. His condition is similar to his condition in the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra. What happens in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna, Arjuna has a kind of nervous breakdown. He drops his bow. He is shaking, his mouth is dry. He is in a very disturbed condition. He is now in a similarly disturbed condition. And one might say it's almost the same condition. His physical condition is practically the same as it was at that time. With verse 5, Arjuna begins to speak. And what does he say? O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. So another theme in this chapter. One theme is remembrance. Another theme is loss. We could say the combination of these two, remembrance in loss. And there's another theme, and that is, you could say more specifically, loss of friendship, or loss of a friend, not loss of friendship, but loss of a friend, and the particular sort of loss that Arjuna feels, namely loss of power. Arjuna is a hero, and we'll maybe elaborate, discuss that a bit more as we go along. What sort of a hero is he? His position of being hero as he sees himself, we could say, is very much tied in with his power. But in this chapter, he's recognizing where his power is coming from. It's coming from Krishna. Without Krishna, he says, I am powerless. Verse 6, I've just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. Only by his merciful strength was I able to vanquish all the lusty princes assembled at the palace of King Drupada for the selection of the bridegroom. With my bow and arrow, I could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hand of Draupadi. Now we're getting a kind of litany over a few verses, a summary of the Mahabharata from the perspective of Arjuna looking back. And what is he seeing as he looks in retrospect at these events? He's seeing repeatedly that without Krishna, none of this that he has been able to accomplish would have been possible. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven, Indradeva, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Khandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon named Maya saved from the blazing Khandava forest, and thus we could build our assembly house of wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tributes. Your respectable younger brother, who possesses the strength of 10,000 elephants, killed by his grace Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. These kings had been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabhairava Yajna, but they were thus released. Later, they paid tribute to your majesty. It's interesting, this mention of the Mahabhairava Yajna. Apparently, he was worshipping, he was a Shakta. Jarasandha was a Shakta, and he wanted to sacrifice all these, make a nice bloody offering for Mahabhairava. But Krishna prevents it. It was he only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. At that time, she fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. And so on. It goes through these sort of snapshots of remembrance of all of the events, the important events in the course of the Mahabharata, leading up to and then including the war, the great war of Kurukshetra. Let's see, moving forward, he mentions names in verse 16. Great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadrata, and Bahlika all directed their invincible weapons against me, but by his, Lord Krishna's, grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Interesting mention of hair for the second or third time. They were taking Draupadi by the hair, and all the hair of the mourning, the women who were mourning, was down, because that's a sign of mourning. When the ladies let the hair loose. And now again, mention of hair. They couldn't touch one hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Nrsingadeva, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. Interesting to jump to Prahlad, but he's comparing himself here to Prahlad. It was by his mercy that only... It was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And it was due to my lack of esteem for my Lord that I dared engage him as my chariot driver, for he is worshipped and offered services by the best men to attain salvation. And now, starting with verse 18, Arjuna expresses in a way somewhat reflecting a mood he expresses in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, a lamentation with respect to his intimate dealings with Lord Krishna. He's now remembering what a close relation he had. It was one of, it was friendship, but it was not just friendship, it was intimate friendship. O King, verse 18, his jokings and frank talks were pleasing and beautifully decorated with smiles. His address is unto me as, quote, O son of Pritha, O friend, O son of the Kuru dynasty, unquote, and all such heartiness are now remembered by me, and thus I am overwhelmed. And further on this theme, generally both of us used to live together and sleep, sit, and loiter together. You know this word loiter? Loitering means hang out. We say in English slang to hang out together is to be with somebody just doing whatever or not doing anything, just sort of spending time, pastime. Loiter together. And at the time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry, sometimes if there were any irregularity, I used to reproach him by saying, "My friend, you are very truthful," presumably in a sarcastic sense. Even in those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the Supreme Soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or a father excuses his son. So, as the first canto is introducing so many of the themes that will echo and reverberate throughout the Bhagavatam, so here we're getting introduction to the theme of relationship, and specifically sakya, sakya rasa, sakya bhava. Arjuna is the exemplar friend of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. O Emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dear most well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel cowherd men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. So he spoke of his power as being dependent on Krishna, and now he is giving a specific instance of how he has been unable to exercise power due to the absence of Krishna. And he expresses his sense of loss by using, let's see, the translation is the word void. Let's see if the word shunya shows up. Yes, shunya. I always like to get devotees, to wake up devotees by saying that actually we are also shunyavadis. See, I woke you up. We have a philosophy, a vada of shunyata, of emptiness. And it's spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaita shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda vinahiname. We're shunyavadis. Sorry. We have a philosophy that the whole world is empty without Govinda. That's our philosophy. So anyway, hope that's not recorded. Whoops. So why is that feeling of void there? Because of the loss of Krishna. And now comes the famous verse. Maybe we should get the Sanskrit of this one first. Tadvai danusta ishava sarato hayaste so hamrati nripatayo yata anamanti sarvam kshanena tadabut asad isharaktam basman hutam kuhakaradham ivoptam usham. I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. Okay, here's a question now. Arjuna says, I'm the same Arjuna. What do you think? Is Arjuna the same Arjuna? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's an interesting parallel. You mentioned Srimati Radharani saying, I'm the same. Everything's the same, but it's all different. And I would say that's could be an intentional parallel here. Anticipation of that sense of everything's the same, but it's all different. What class of people would likely argue that no, it's not the same Arjuna? Which philosophers? Silence. Don't everyone answer at once.
Is this a question for the Western philosophers?
No. this is a question for the Shatdarshana students. Do we have any Shatdarshana students here?
No.
The Buddhists. The Buddhists would say Arjuna is not the same Arjuna as he was before, even 5 minutes before, right? Everything, everyone is constantly changing. Everything is simply momentary events. But I think in a figurative sense, we can also say Arjuna is different. And I want to elaborate on that point a little bit. There's a book which was written by one scholar, Ruth Katz was her name, called Arjuna in the Mahabharata. And she wrote an entire book about Arjuna in the Mahabharata, in which she basically argues that Arjuna shows three sorts of characteristics. Arjuna is a hero. Arjuna is a human being, and Arjuna is a devotional hero. So before the events of the Mahabharata, of the Kurukshetra war, he is a hero. When he has his nervous breakdown before the battle begins, he is showing himself as a human being with human weakness, with human anxieties, and so on. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And then, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he becomes resolved to fight the battle, and his renewed resolve is based on the knowledge and inspiration he receives from Lord Krishna. And thus, in this situation, he becomes a devotional hero. Now, what I want to suggest is that in this chapter, we're not there yet, but in this chapter, Arjuna will move from being a devotional hero to a devotee, pure and simple. But let's move on a bit. So this is my, shall we say, argument that he is changing. And I would suggest that this chapter, or this part of the chapter, is showing us Arjuna to be not a two-dimensional character. In literature, you have one speaks of two-dimensional characters. They're extremely predictable. The two-dimensional hero is kind of doing everything you would expect him or her to do. The three-dimensional person is self-reflective. At least, I think this would be one way of characterizing a three-dimensional character. So, in any case, Arjuna is changing. He has changed, we've seen, and he's remembering in the course of the Bhagavad Gita discourse. And now he's being forced, in effect, to change again. Okay, O King, since you have asked me about your friends and relatives in the city of Dwaraka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmanas. And as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine made of putrefied rice and fought among themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. So in the previous chapter, Yudhishthir was describing a very happy Dwaraka. So, is everyone happy there? Everyone is enjoying each other's company? Yes, yes, that's what we expect to hear. Now, this sudden, shocking contrast. No, they're all dead and gone. And now, why is this? Verse 24, factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and at other times they protect one another. An interesting sort of general comment about the harsh reality of material existence. It reminds me of another verse in Canto 1, first chapter. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam palguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam, about the survival system in this world. Everyone lives by eating someone else. a life lives from a life. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Here Arjuna says, sometimes people kill each other, and sometimes they protect each other. Sometimes something terrible happens, and sometimes something nice happens. O King, now we get an analogy of the same point. As in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatics swallow up the smaller and weaker ones, so also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the weaker, and the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. So we get explanation. One of the major philosophical issues in the Bhagavatam is causality. Janmadyasya yaton vayadi dratas charteshva vignyasvarat. Everything comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. So the question was there in the Mahabharata, how is it that all this has happened? It has been raised again in chapter 9 of Canto 1. And Bhishma, as he's about to leave the world, is discussing this with Yudhishthir. How is it that all of this has happened? And the conclusion is, of course, the same. It's all by the will of the Supreme Lord. And in that case, it's an interesting situation because the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is himself personally standing right there as Bhishma is speaking. And one might say it's all a little bit awkward because it's the question is, why have all these terrible things happened? And his conclusion is it's all happened because of him. And he's looking straight at him. But he doesn't say that so directly. He says, well, there's the time factor, and there's karma, And there's so many things, and you never really know, do you? But anyway, it's all the will of the Lord. And the Lord, we don't hear from Krishna at that point. Krishna is just looking and presumably smiling. And now here he's saying again, more specifically, why all of this has happened, in order to lighten the burden of the earth. It's interesting, in the Mahabharata there are references to the Kurukshetra war as a great sacrifice, a blood sacrifice to Mother Earth. Yeah, you know, when you do a sacrifice, you offer oblations. Usually it's of something nice, like ghee. this war is also equated. It's considered also a kind of sacrifice. Verse 27, now I am attracted. Okay, here's the key, here's the turning point in this section. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Krishna is, I keep saying Krishna and I mean Arjuna. Arjuna is remembering Krishna, and in the beginning of this chapter he's remembering his relationship of friendship and the intimacy of that relationship. And he is, we would say, lamenting. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna telling Arjuna in so many ways? In chapter, first part of chapter 2, what is he telling? Okay, and therefore, don't lament. Yes. Actually, he uses the word anusochati or anusochanti. And anu can mean ongoing. Anusochati, sochanti, socham is lamenting, and ongoing lamenting. Don't go on lamenting. Grief is natural, but to go on endlessly grieving, that is not natural. So he's telling Arjuna at that time, there's going to be some killing here. And there's not going to be need to go on lamenting, because we are not the body, as you say. Now, he says, I am attracted to those instructions. Now, Arjuna is remembering the instructions that he heard before the battle. And this remembering of these instructions, I would suggest, is making Arjuna, instead of being a devotional hero, he's now a devotee. He's a devotee, pure and simple. He's just remembering, you know, the essentials, which are the teachings. And we may ask, what would be the essential teaching that he is remembering from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita? We've mentioned don't lament, but would there be another particular teaching you think he is remembering now as essential? Any suggestions? Okay, maybe. That could be, okay. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, okay. Remember me, think of me. So now he's thinking of Krishna. You could say, well, he was thinking of Krishna before. He was thinking of Krishna in absence. But yes, manmana bhava mad bhakto. I was thinking also from the sixth chapter, what's the verse? No. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Anyway. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasya hamna pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. So he's feeling Krishna has gone, but now he may be remembering, actually Krishna is here. Krishna is with me. So with that reassurance, he can, so to say, go on with life. Okay, the last four verses of this section are Sutta Goswami speaking. Thus, being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Prabhupada uses the word trash. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again, he became lord of his senses. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus, he was freed from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. We may take these last couple of verses as an instantiation of chapter 2 of Canto 1. Chapter 2 is this overview of what is bhakti and how does it work, and how by doing it, by practicing bhakti, one becomes free from the modes of nature. So now we have example. We've had other examples, Narada, well, Vyasa, Narada, and others who are linked with, are identified, associated with the Mahabharata, Kunti, Draupadi. The Bhagavata is saying, you know, those great personalities of the Mahabharata, actually they are Bhagavatas of the Mahabharata. They're actually Bhagavatas or Mahabhagavatas. They're great devotees. And they are giving the example of how what is described in chapter 2 works. All right, to finish, I thought just for fun, because I mentioned the word hero, that Arjuna is a hero. Well, there are different types of heroes. And one type of hero, which became a very popular notion of heroism from the late 18th century in Europe and on into the 19th century, and some of it carrying over to the present time, is what came to be known as the romantic hero. We usually think nowadays of romantic meaning romance in the sense of male-female, you know, interactions. But romanticism was a whole current of ideas and culture, literature, and so on from the late 18th century. And within this emerged a notion of the romantic hero. And one might look at this perhaps more as a contrast than as a parallel to Arjuna's heroism. But I have a little list here of characteristics of the romantic hero. The first principle is the romantic hero celebrates radical individualism. Usually the romantic hero is a young man. There are some young women or women, but most of them are men because it is more and has been more possible for the young man to sort of break out to be this individual. The general mood is to be different from ordinary people and to show intense emotion, to celebrate emotion, and to be creative. The idea of the creative genius emerges at this time. And to be also rebellious and to feel intensely alienated from the world, and at the same time to feel an intense attraction for nature, to be in nature and to relish, we might say, to celebrate various features of nature, including its wild character. So the romantic hero is a kind of loner, and he tends to be misunderstood. He's very introspective, and in his introspection, he is painfully reflective about who am I, what am I about, and so on. And this person wanders about. They travel. They were in the late 18th, early 19th century, became a thing to do for these poets to travel around Europe, but not so much as tourists, but as romantic heroes. and feeling these intense feelings that they do, they are looking for meaning in their feelings. What is the meaning of what I feel? Typically, they will become involved in some heartbreaking romance. It is always a frustrated romance. So one of the classical forms of this, as was articulated by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, was the sorrows of young Werther, who fell in love with a young lady who was engaged to be married to a lawyer. Lawyer means humdrum established existence. And young Werther tries with all his might to convince this young lady that, you know, your life with him is going to be so boring, whereas with me it's going to be so exciting because I am so sensitive and I am so emotional and it will be so wonderful. And in the end, because she does not fall for him, what does he do? He commits suicide using a pistol which he has borrowed from the man with whom the woman will be married. Yes, terrible. Terrible, isn't it? So this romantic hero tends to be somewhat of a tragic hero, or we might say pathetic hero, and is sometimes contrasted with the European classical hero. The classical hero was one who restrained his emotions, who did glorious acts by restraining the emotions in order to exhibit the determination, the resolve to follow his duty. So this was the classical hero. Judging from this, we might see Arjuna as more of a classical hero than a romantic hero. The question in my mind, which is maybe a little off topic, but is there any relevant parallel to be made between this idea, the romantic hero, and the picture we get of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether in some sense he could be considered a romantic hero. But that's another subject. We won't go there today. I think I'll stop there with my ruminations and ask if you have any further comments on this chapter, first part of this chapter. Yes. Here he is lamenting again. The suggestion is that he did sort of lose track a bit of what he had learned for some time. But we are reassured here that it wasn't for too long. That, yes, he kind of lost his way, and then he recollected in the sort of more literal sense of the word to recollect. He collected himself. He came back to his senses, we say. So yeah, he seems to have lost it for a while. But you don't like that. yeah, because in the beginning he is speechless, right? But who would not feel that this is understandable, considering that his loss is so great? His loss is of none other than Krishna. So my point there is that grieving is natural. If we lose someone in our family, someone who we've been close to, if there would be absolutely no grief, if you would just say, well, he's gone, that's it. We're not the body, Haribo. Then we might think, are you all right?
Yes, perfectly fine.
I'm perfectly fine. Actually, it was a bit like that when Srila Prabhupada left. In the German yatra, we were sort of advised from our GBC at that time that here we will practice business more than usual. And in retrospect, I think some of us realized that was actually a mistake. It was a mistake. We were not given the space, whatever, for natural mourning. Because I think mourning does have a function. There is a need there, which is to let go, and the letting go is a process. So what Krishna's telling Arjuna in chapter 2 is don't overdo it. Don't let it, completely determine your life. So here Arjuna, I would say we sympathize. Yes, lamentation, that's natural. But then he collects himself. He says, ah, now I remember. Yes, that's it.
This point about Arjuna being like Prahlad, one can quickly, I think I've listened to it.
Oh.
What's the comparison to
Prahlad? Yeah. Well, this had to do with his being protected. He, first of all, lists several great warriors in the Battle of Kurukshetra, And he says, but by his, Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Nrsimhadeva, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. Yeah, indeed. Manohar, you looked troubled. Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah, these, well, okay, good. Arjuna's initial lamentation was in anticipation of loss, and yes, it was very much materially oriented. Okay, yes, very good. You've I think, highlighted the difference in that lamentation. Okay. Something else from this side of the hall? All right, then. Thank you all very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande.